This is Chris.
And this is Jim.
And this is Double Dome Digitally Speaking.
Enjoy the show.
Let's face it, trying to keep pace with the breakneck speed of online business, it can feel like a constant uphill battle. New platforms, new tech, seems like every week.
Yeah, a lot.
So if you're feeling maybe a bit overwhelmed trying to figure out what truly matters right now in e-commerce, well, you're definitely in the right place. Consider this your streamlined guide.
Exactly. Today, we're diving deep into the key e-commerce development trends that are really set to shape 2024. Our aim is to pull out the critical insights, the things that will help your online store stay competitive, but also, you know, future-proof it and seriously enhance your customer's experience.
And our roadmap for this journey is a really insightful blog post. It's by Sunny Day, titled Future-Proofing Your Online Store, Top E-Commerce Development Trends for 2024.
Sunny knows his stuff.
He really does. Over 6 years deep in WordPress and WooCommerce, plus a strong focus on what makes sites work, good design, user experience, usability, speed, the whole package.
Absolutely. And what we want to do for you, the listener, is take all that expertise and just boil it down. Concentrated to the core takeaways will help you pinpoint where to focus and hopefully cut through some of that noise.
Yeah, get a solid understanding fast.
Right.
Okay, let's jump into the first big trend Sunny highlights. Headless commerce. Now, the term itself, it might sound a bit, well, technical.
It does, yeah.
But Sunny uses a great analogy. Think of a physical store, fantastic window display, but the actual inventory, it's held in a totally separate warehouse.
That analogy really hits the nail on the head. See, in traditional e-commerce, the front end, the website your customers see and click around on, and a back end where all your products, stock, customer data live, they're tightly connected.
Right, like one big system.
Exactly. Headless commerce flips that. It decouples those two parts, separates them.
So it's like having the freedom to completely redesign your storefront, update it without having to overhaul the whole warehouse system.
Precisely. And this decoupling, it opens up some really significant possibilities, especially when you think about what you, our listener, might want to do with your business. A major one is enabling a truly omnichannel experience.
Omnichannel. Okay, that's a buzzword we hear a lot. But what does it practically mean if you're using headless?
Well, think about reaching customers wherever they are. Headless gives you that architectural flexibility. Because the customer-facing part, the front end, is separate, you can build tailored experiences for, say, mobile apps, shoppable social feeds, even smart speakers.
Oh, interesting.
And they all connect back to that same central back-end system. So the customer gets a consistent journey no matter how they interact with you.
That makes a ton of sense, especially if you're looking beyond just your main website. What's another key advantage Sunny points out?
Another really big one is future-proofing. Imagine you want a complete visual refresh for your store, or you want to integrate some cutting-edge new feature. With a traditional system, that could be really complex, maybe even disruptive.
Right, like trying to, I don't know, change a tire while the car's moving.
Exactly. But with headless, since the front and back are independent, you can make those front-end changes, design, tech upgrades, without messing with the core back-end systems managing inventory, orders, all that critical stuff.
Yeah.
It gives you way more agility.
Okay, agility. And then there's customization. Sunny talks about creating really unique, personalized shopping experiences. How does headless help there?
Well, because you've got complete control over that front-end presentation layer, you're not locked into the limitations of a specific all-in-one platform. You can use different technologies, different frameworks to build something truly unique, really tailored, really personalized. It helps you stand out.
Okay, it sounds powerful. But Sunny also asks, is headless commerce right for you? Mm-hmm. Which suggests, you know, it's not a silver bullet. There are things to consider.
It's a really critical question. And Sunny highlights that headless systems usually need more technical expertise. Since you're essentially building and managing that front end separately, you probably need a stronger dev team, or you'll rely more on external developers.
That tracks. You're managing two interconnected but distinct systems. What about the money side?
Budget is another factor, yeah. The long-term scalability can be great, but often the initial setup for headless costs more upfront. There's just more development work involved in building it out initially.
And last point Sunny brings up here is scalability. How does headless affect handling growth?
Okay, this is where it gets really interesting. Because the back end in a headless setup serves data through APIs. Think of them like digital messengers letting systems talk efficiently. It can often handle big increases in traffic and orders much better than a traditional tightly coupled system.
Ah, so it's built for growth. Potentially,
yes. That improved scalability can be a major plus if you're anticipating serious growth down the line.
Okay, so headless. Big flexibility, future-proofing potential, but need more tech skills, maybe higher initial cost, good balanced view. Let's switch gears. Something that feels a bit more futuristic, maybe. Voice commerce. Okay. Sunny kicks this off saying, remember those futuristic movies where people ordered things with their voice? Well, the future is here.
It really is amazing how fast that happened. Alexa, Google Assistant.
Yeah.
They're everywhere now. Voice commerce isn't just a gimmick anymore. It's a real channel.
And Sunny lists some compelling benefits for the customer, which obviously helps the business. Convenience is huge.
Absolutely. Shopping hands-free while you're doing other things, cooking, cleaning, driving. It just slots into people's lives. Super convenient.
And speed, too. Just saying what you want is often faster than typing and clicking through menus, right?
Exactly. Voice commands can really streamline finding and ordering stuff. Much quicker for the customer.
And this is a really important point Sunny makes. Improved accessibility. How does voice help there?
Yeah, this goes beyond just convenience. For people with disabilities or visual impairments, voice commerce can be a genuine game changer. It empowers them to shop online more independently.
So it's about inclusion, too, not just the cool factor. Okay, if someone's listening and thinking, voice sounds interesting, how do I prep my store for this? What are the practical steps?
Sunny gives some really actionable advice. First, optimize your product descriptions. Think about how people actually talk when searching.
Right.
Descriptions need to be clear, concise, use keywords people would naturally say out loud.
More conversational, less formal.
Precisely. And building on that, focus on long-tail keywords. When we type, we might use short terms, but voice searches are often longer, more like full sentences.
Like, find me red running shoes size 10 with good arch support.
Exactly. So optimizing for those longer, specific phrases is key for voice search visibility.
And the last tip is test and refine. How do you actually test if your store works well with voice search?
Well, there are tools, but honestly, just use your own phone or smart speaker. Try searching for your products using natural voice commands. See what comes up. Are the results what you expect? It gives you real-world feedback on where you might need to tweak things.
Makes sense. Got to speak the customer's language, literally. Okay, next up. The power of personalization. Not a new idea, but it feels like it's getting way more sophisticated.
Yeah, the big takeaway is that customer expectations for personalization have shot way up. It's not just nice to have anymore. It's often expected. Sunny's analogy of the local shopkeeper remembering your preferences. That really captures it.
It does, that feeling of being known. So what are the main business impacts of personalization, according to Sunny?
He highlights three. First, increased engagement. Show customers relevant stuff they're actually interested in, and they're much more likely to stick around on your site.
Makes perfect sense. No one likes wading through irrelevant junk. Second impact.
Improved conversion rates. Simple logic, really. Show products that match someone's past behavior or stated interests, they're naturally more likely to buy. Right product, right person, right time.
And third, stronger customer loyalty. How does personalization build that?
By making customers feel understood and valued, personalization builds a deeper connection. It creates that tailored feel which boosts satisfaction and keeps them coming back, builds loyalty over time.
So it's about the relationship, not just the one sale. Sunny gives some concrete ways to do personalization, product recommendations based on past behavior. That's a big one.
Absolutely. Using purchase history, browsing data to suggest other things they might like, you might also like, or customers also bought sections. That's classic personalization.
And then there's dynamic content. What's that involve?
Dynamic content means changing parts of your website, banners, product grids, maybe even the layout based on who the user is, their location, past purchases, how they browse. It makes the site feel more relevant in real time.
And finally, personalized emails and offers. We all see these.
Exactly. Segmenting your email list based on different criteria and sending targeted campaigns with specific offers or recommendations. Super effective for driving engagement and sales.
Okay, personalization, clearly vital. Let's move to something more immersive. Augmented reality, AR, and virtual reality, VR. Sunny says they're redefining the shopping experience.
Yeah, what's interesting is how AR and VR are moving beyond just gaming. They're becoming practical, impactful tools for e-commerce now.
And he highlights some really cool applications. Virtual try-on for clothes and makeup using AR. That sounds amazing. How does it work?
Well, AR overlays digital images onto your real-world view, usually through your phone's camera, so you can see how that shirt or lipstick shade looks on you in real time. It tackles that big online shopping problem. Will this actually fit or suit me? reduces uncertainty, fewer returns.
Huge benefit for everyone involved. And then product visualization in context. What's that?
This is where AR lets you see, say, how a piece of furniture looks in your own room before you buy it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Use your phone, place a virtual sofa in your living room, see if it fits, if the color works. Takes away a lot of guesswork.
Definitely tackles that, will this look good in my home? Fear. Sunny also mentions enhanced customer engagement. How do AR and VR achieve that?
By making shopping more interactive and immersive. It's more engaging than just scrolling through static pictures. You're interacting with the product virtually. It can be more fun, more satisfying, and make your brand more memorable.
Sounds incredibly promising. But realistically, Sunny also points out considerations. Cost and development complexity must be factored.
Absolutely. Building sophisticated AR/VR experiences isn't cheap, especially for smaller businesses. You need budget and specialized tech skills. It's a real investment.
And accessibility. Not everyone has a VR headset or the latest phone for AR.
That's a crucial point. While smartphone AR is getting common, widespread VR adoption for shopping is still a way off. You need to think about whether your target audience actually has the tech to use these features.
And the user experience itself. If it's clunky or hard to use, it doesn't matter how cool the tech is.
Exactly right. It needs to be intuitive and genuinely helpful, not frustrating. A bad AR/VR experience can actually hurt your brand.
But Sunny does end on a positive note, saying even basic AR features through mobile apps can be valuable, so it doesn't have to be full-blown VR immersion.
That's right. Simple things. Like overlaying a product image in a real-world scene via phone app can still offer real value and help people decide to buy.
Okay, good perspective. Let's shift from virtual back to the immediate reality. Mobile-first shopping. Sunny is emphatic here. No longer an option, but a necessity. That's strong.
And he's right. The landscape has totally shifted. A few years back, mobile optimization was important. Now, with most browsing and buying happening on phones, mobile-first isn't just best practice. It's essential for survival.
And why this overwhelming focus? The sheer dominance of mobile devices is reason one, right?
Exactly. Just look at the numbers. People use their phones and tablets for everything, including shopping. If your store isn't designed primarily for mobile, you're basically invisible to a huge chunk of potential customers.
And it's not just about working on mobile. It's about being good on mobile. Seamless experience.
Precisely. People expect consistency. If your mobile site is slow, hard to navigate, looks weird, they'll just leave. Bounce. Go somewhere else that is easy to use on mobile.
And Sunny also connects voice search back to mobile optimization. How do those intersect?
Well, where do people use voice assistants most? On their phones and smart speakers, which are often tied to their phones. So, optimizing for voice search inherently means optimizing for mobile, because that's where those voice searches are happening.
Right, makes sense. So mobile optimization strategies. Sunny lists a few essentials. Responsive design is the foundation.
Absolutely. Responsive design means your site automatically adjusts its layout, images, text, everything, to fit any screen size perfectly. Looks good and works well on a tiny phone or a giant desktop. It's table stakes now.
And speed. Always crucial, but maybe even more so on mobile.
Definitely. Mobile users are often on the move, maybe on less reliable connections, and generally less patient. Slow loading times on mobile, kiss that customer goodbye. Speed is critical.
Simplified navigation. What does good mobile navigation look like?
Less is more. You've got limited screen space. So clear, simple menus, maybe a hamburger menu, prominent buttons, easy to tap links, minimize clutter. Help people find what they need fast.
And the final piece. A mobile-friendly checkout. Seems like a point where many sales are lost.
Oh, absolutely. A clunky checkout on mobile is a conversion killer. You need to streamline it, minimize typing, offer mobile payment options like Apple Pay or Google Pay, make it super easy to complete the purchase.
Okay, mobile first, non-negotiable. Got it. Now let's explore leveraging social commerce. Sunny notes that social media isn't just for chatting anymore, it's a marketplace.
Yeah, it's a natural evolution, isn't it? People spend so much time on platforms like Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. It just makes sense they start buying stuff there too.
And Sunny highlights key opportunities. Shoppable posts are a big one, especially on Instagram and Facebook.
Right. Businesses can tag products directly in their photos or videos. Users tap the tag, see the price, details, and can often click straight through to buy it, sometimes without even leaving the app. Super frictionless.
Influencer marketing comes up again here. Why is it effective specifically for social commerce?
Because trust is huge on social media. Partnering with influencers who have built an authentic connection with an audience that matches yours Their recommendation carries weight. It's like a trusted friend suggesting a product. Very powerful for driving sales in that environment.
And the third opportunity, building communities. How does having a brand community help sell things?
It builds loyalty and connection. When people feel part of a community around your brand, they're more invested. They talk about you, recommend you, becomes organic word of mouth, and loyal community members tend to buy more over time.
So it's about relationships again, fostering that connection. If a business wants to integrate social commerce, what are Sunny's practical suggestions?
Well, creating those shoppable posts is fundamental. Use great visuals, clear calls to action, make it easy and appealing for people to click and explore.
And for influencers, how do you pick the right ones?
Look for alignment. Do their values, their aesthetic match your brand? Is their audience your target audience? Authenticity is key. Sponsored posts, reviews, collaborations can all work if it feels genuine.
Running contests and giveaways, how do they fit in?
Great for generating buzz. They get people excited, increase brand awareness, encourage engagement like sharing or tagging friends. It expands your reach, potentially brings in new customers.
And the final point, just responding to comments and messages. Sounds basic, but why is it important for social commerce?
Because social media is social. It's two-way. Answering questions, addressing concerns quickly, just engaging with people. It builds trust, shows you care. That makes people more comfortable buying from you.
Okay, so social commerce is about being present, engaging, and making it easy to buy where people already hang out. Now, the final crucial trend, the evolving landscape of security. Sunny stresses, rightly, it's always a top priority.
Yeah, and the key thing is security isn't a set it and forget it deal. Text changes, threats change. You have to stay vigilant to protect customer data and maintain trust. It's ongoing.
And Sunny mentions key drivers for this focus, increased regulations like GDPR and CCPA.
Absolutely. Data privacy laws are getting stricter everywhere. Businesses have to protect customer data properly or face big fines and reputational damage.
And then there are the evolving cyber threats themselves. Seems like there's a new scam or breach every week.
Unfortunately, yeah. Cyber criminals are always finding new ways to attack. It means businesses have to constantly update their defenses and stay alert.
And ultimately, a data breach is devastating for trust. Hard to recover from that.
Exactly. The financial cost is bad, but losing customer confidence can be even worse. It damages your brand's reputation, potentially for good.
So, what essential security measures does Sunny recommend?
Using secure payment gateways is non-negotiable. Partner only with reputable processors to handle financial transactions safely.
And SSL encryption, that padlock icon we see, what's it actually doing?
SSL creates a secure encrypted tunnel between your website and the customer's browser. It scrambles the data, personal info, payment details, making it much harder for anyone to intercept and steal it during transmission.
Regular security audits sound important too. Proactive checks.
Yes, definitely. Regularly scanning your systems for vulnerabilities before criminals find them. It's about finding and fixing weak spots proactively.
And finally, staying updated on the latest threats, an ongoing learning process.
Absolutely. The threat landscape changes constantly. You need to stay informed about new attack methods, new vulnerabilities, and update your security measures and software accordingly. It's a continuous effort.
So security, an ongoing vital commitment. Okay, wow. We have covered a lot of ground. Headless commerce, voice personalization, ARVR, mobile first, social commerce, security. It's definitely a dynamic landscape.
It certainly is. But hopefully, this deep dive has given you, our listener, a clearer picture of these key trends and what they might mean for your online business.
Exactly. The goal is to leave you feeling more informed, more empowered to make those strategic calls. And Sunny Day leaves us with a great bonus tip. Stay curious and experiment.
Yeah, I love that. It acknowledges that e-commerce is always changing. You have to be willing to try new things, test stuff out, and then critically adapt based on the data and what your customers tell you. That's how you stay ahead.
It really drives home that need for continuous learning, maybe stepping outside the comfort zone a bit. So as you think about your own online business, here's a final thought to mull over. Of all these trends we discussed today, headless, voice, personalization, ARVR, mobile, social security, which one do you think could have the biggest impact on your specific store in the next year? Definitely something worth pondering as you plan ahead.
We hope you enjoyed today's topic.
Be sure to like, comment, and follow us.
And check out our other shows all related to digital marketing.
Whether you're a web designer, Google Ads specialist, or a small business owner, we've got a show that'll help you get clarity on what's trending now in digital marketing.
And if you need help,
With 25 years of experience across 30 plus industries and thousands of projects, we deliver ruthlessly effective Google Ads, SEO, and omnichannel digital marketing campaigns.
Learn how you can get consistent leads in 30 days or less using our proven digital marketing strategies.
Contact us at doubledome.com to set up a free consultation.